Well, good morning, church. Well, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I hope you do, turn in your New Testaments to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, and we'll again just read one verse today, verse number 8. And it is good to be back with you on this Lord's Day. And if you were here last Lord's Day, you'll remember we had the same verse. But it's not the same message. How's that? There's the Word of God is eternal and living and sharper than any double-edged sword, and it is a very deep that you can just camp out in a verse. So we're going to come back to the same verse that we had last week. Hebrews chapter 13, wait till everybody finds it there, and verse number 8, and again I have the New International Version. You can either listen as I read or follow along in your version, and the best version is the one you read, so I hope you read the one you have. Well, if everybody has it, and if you're willing and able, would you stand for the public reading of God's holy and inspired word that the children or kids reminded us of today, and let's give attention to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And let's pray. Our Father, Lord, we do thank you that you are our eternal God and creator, and that you have made us and made us for yourself. And we thank you that you're more than just our God, but you're also our Father. And that you care for us and our every need, and in fact, so much that you sent your Son to redeem us so that we might be your forever family. We thank you for gathering your people here on this day, your day, to open up your word and give attention to what it says about your Son. Might we be encouraged in our faith this day, and might to those who do not have faith, might it be imparted by the power of your Spirit, so that another sinner might be redeemed. And I pray it in the name of the only Savior of sinners, Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to digress right at the beginning. I was in a service, it's been several years ago, and the pastor asked everybody to stand for the reading of the scripture, and then he went right into preaching and forgot to tell everybody to sit down, and everybody kept standing and standing, and I was like, I'm sitting down. I don't know about you, but anyway, I'm glad y'all went ahead and seated. Well, do you ever feel a disconnect? Are am I ringing here? Can I just go? New fancy stuff here. Well, do y'all ever feel a disconnect with our old time religion? You know, we sing the song, "Give me that old time religion." We talked a little bit about it last week, but you know, our old time religion is pretty old, older than all of us. It was all so long ago and so far away. So much of our faith is about yesterday. As we open up this dusty old book, it was all so many, many years ago. I mean, you know, who didn't want to read about Noah, you know, right? That's 4,500 years ago. Anybody remember that? No. Abraham, the man of faith, you know, I mean, he's the guy, right? 4,000 years ago. I mean, wow, that's a long time ago. Moses, the giving of the law. You know, out of Egypt, you know, off 3,500 years ago. David, the man after God's own heart. I mean, here's a guy, right? That's 3,500 years ago. Daniel, the lion's den. Oh, we love that one. 2,500 years ago. When we get to the New Testament with our Lord and the apostles, we open up and we study their lives and we read what they wrote, and that was all 2,000 years ago. You know, we spend a whole lot of time talking about the past. But what about the present? What about today? I mean, this day, you know, what is it, August 5th? 2018? I mean, you know, we often talk about what used to be way back in the Bible times, and we open up the scripture and we should do that, or we turn our attention to what's gonna be in the hereafter and heaven beyond. And so we spend a lot of time talking about the past and hoping about the future. But what about now? What about this day? I mean, the sweet by and by is fine, but I don't know about you, but I live in the nasty now and now. I mean, this is where we're at right now. And if you've ever questioned something like that, you're in good company. The man Gideon in the Old Testament, one day the angel of the Lord came to him in a time of calamity. Things weren't going so hot. And the angel of the Lord says to Gideon, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And he's like, What do you mean the Lord is with me? You know, all this stuff's going on. And by the way, where are all those wonders that our fathers told us about? I heard all the old stories that they told us about how God's presence was with them and this happened and that happened. But I wasn't there. I'm right here. God's presence was back there, but is His presence with me now, today? Not yesterday and not going to be in heaven, but today. You ever wonder that? Does your faith struggle with today? Well, I read an interesting article a while back called "We Breathe the Same Air as Jesus." It was kind of an interesting thought. And in it, it said that in every breath that we take, we breathe in 161 sextillion molecules of gas or something like that. Now, this gal here may know what a sextillion is. I don't know. That's a lot of zeros. This is 20 zeros. You know, I mean, that's bigger than our national debt in pennies. I mean, that's a whole lot just in one breath of air. And this article said that if every breath that Jesus took in His 33 years was still here, and, you know, in 2,000 years it's all been mixed up but pretty good, that if every breath that He took is still here, and then we all took a big breath, then we would breathe in 4 trillion molecules that was once in Jesus' lungs. Just in one breath. I thought, that's pretty interesting. And I said, okay, well, let's say not every one of His breaths is still here. Let's say 99% of every breath that Jesus took while on this planet is locked away somewhere. It's up in the North Pole. It didn't get mixed up. And only 1% of the breath that He breathed is still mixed up in the air that we are breathing now. Well, at that, they said there would be 46 billion molecules in our lungs right now that was once in Jesus Christ's lungs. What about His last breath? You know, the scripture records His last breath. That on the cross, He cried out with a loud voice and He said, "Father, into Your hands I commend my spirit." And it says He breathed His last. And today, 2,000 years later, I go, and I breathe in. And according to this, that in that one breath, there are 227 molecules. In that breath that is in me and you right now. I thought that was kind of intriguing. Of course, I can't verify. I'm not smart enough to think of that. But just the thought of it made me think, you know, our connection with Jesus today, in 2018, is much closer than we might think. Because our faith is just as real, and it is just as relevant. It is just as tangible and present today in this place as it has ever been throughout history. And why is that? Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. At the end of our service, we are going to have a tangible meal, something we can actually see and taste and touch. It's going to be visible right there in front of us. And it is a reminder to us that Jesus Christ is just as real as that meal. He's just as real. He's just as present with us today. That just like air, God is there. We may not see Him, but I tell you, we are swimming around in the presence of God. And so let's give some thought here to this verse again. First of all, just by way of review and what we talked about last week and just the first six words. First, it says, you know, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. His name is Jesus. It means Jehovah saves. It means that He is the Lord and that the Lord is the one that saves. His name is His mission. He is Jesus, the one who saves, and He's the Christ. It means the anointed one. It means He is the only one out of all of history. He's the guy. There is no other guy that can save. There is no other Savior besides Him and Him alone. It's exactly what God said in the Old Testament in Isaiah 43:11. He says, I am the Lord and there is no other. And apart from me, there is no Savior. Jesus is the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the only one anointed to save. And this verse tells us that this Jesus Christ is the same. He's immutable and He's eternal in His essential person. That He, like His Father, does not change. He is changeless in who He is, in His person, and in His offices, and in the proclamation about Him. It does not change regardless of what point in history you are. And that's why it says He's the same yesterday. You can go all the way back in history and all people of faith their faith has been in the one that God would send to redeem, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. But you know, Jesus Christ isn't here today, is He? You remember after His death and His burial and His resurrection, and then I think some 40 days later, He ascended on high, it says, to the right hand of the Father. We can't see Him, but is Jesus inactive now? Is He not the same yesterday as well as today? Is Jesus doing anything right now for us? You know, Christ said in John chapter 5 and verse 17, the religious leaders were getting onto Him for healing on the Sabbath, and He was like, what are you getting on to me for? My Father is always working, and I too am working. Jesus Christ is working. And one of the things that He is doing that He said He is going to do is He is right now preparing something for us. In John chapter 14, Jesus' disciples were pretty sad because He had told them that He was going to go away. And then He tells them at the first part of John 14, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place, then I will return and bring you to myself. He said that He would go, and what's He doing? He is preparing a place for us right now. On this day. When Christ ascended to the right hand of the Father, it wasn't just inactively sit there and to do nothing. No, Christ is working today. He is working and He is preparing a place for us. Now, I don't know if He works on Sunday or not, but He did say that He is working and He is actively today preparing something for you. I had a conversation with a friend of mine this summer, and she was really anticipating some family coming in, and her great-granddaughter was going to visit. And she was so excited that her great-granddaughter was going to be there. And she goes, you know, I've got my hope chest ready and I've got some stuff in there that I just want her to see. Because I remember when I was a child and we would go and you'd open up the hope chest and you'd see the dress or the doll or whatever. And she said, so I've got this specially prepared for my granddaughter. And then we had a conversation. You know, heaven is going to be a little bit like that. When we get there, Jesus Christ has been preparing something for us, and that preparation has been very personal for you. and for me. And that is something that he is doing right now today, that he is preparing this place for us, not just yesterday, but today, that our future heaven is being personally prepared by Jesus Christ for you. I mean, think about it. What's he been doing for 2,000 years? Well, making you a place. So when you get there and you, it's like, wow, this was made just for me. Because he's busy doing it for you and for you and for you and for me. And he's doing that today. Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday he was a carpenter, right? You know, we read he was a carpenter. Is he one today? Yeah, and he might be working on your place today. And when he's all prepared, he's going to come get us. And then we will see. So today, Jesus is doing something. He is preparing a place for us today. Something else that he is doing today is that he is sympathizing with us. Turn back a little bit in Hebrews to Hebrews 4, verses 14 to 16. And just listen to this here. Because Jesus Christ right now on this day is actively sympathizing with us in our troubles. For the Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way that we are, yet does not sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, that we may find mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I tell you, it's a good thing to think about on this day, that this day Jesus Christ is actively helping and sympathizing us, and he can help us because he understands us today. I mean, there is often a cultural divide, you know, between this culture and that culture, and I'm sure the same in time. I mean, the way people lived 2,000 years ago may be different than now. But Jesus Christ understands us right now. Do you know that God, not only does he know everything and know everything eternally, but when he became flesh, He is, you might say now, experientially omniscient. That God, Jesus, knows exactly what we are going through today. He feels it in his bones because he has flesh and bones and he actually lived the life. That when God became flesh and lived that life, he can now understand us in a way that he can sympathize with us. I mean, our great high priest is not removed from your experience today. He has walked in our shoes, and he literally has breathed our air. Maybe I can illustrate it like this. Did you ever meet people that just don't get it, or maybe get you? You might say, man, these people are just clueless. You know, maybe you've been gone through something and someone will come up and say, I understand what you're going through. And in your mind, you're like, you don't know diddly squat. You don't understand me, because maybe that they haven't been through that. My own Nana, she told me a story that she had a friend whose son was killed in a car wreck. And she went and tried to comfort her and says, oh, I understand what you're going through. And the lady got really mad at her. You don't understand what I'm going through. And she didn't understand the reaction until a few years later when her own son died. And then she goes, oh, now I know what she meant. Now I understand the anguish that this woman was going through, because she then experienced that anguish. And can I tell you that it is the same with Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ gets you. He understands you. He can sympathize with you because he breathed our same air and lived our same life. And all the various things that you go through, he went through similar things. And so he understands right now. You know, in the temptations you go through today, he knows what that is. The verse is he's been tempted in every way that we are, but without sin. He knows right now. You may think no one else knows, and maybe no one else does down here, but Jesus Christ knows. And he sympathizes. And so we can boldly go to the throne of grace and find help today in our time of need because he understands me. He's lived this life and he knows what it's like to be in this body. Jesus right now is sympathizing for you. Something else that he is doing, that he is actively praying for you today. Turn to Hebrews chapter 7, in verses 23 to 25. Hebrews 7, 23 to 25. Now, there have been many of those, a priest, since death prevented him from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood, and therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Now, one thing about earthly priests and earthly pastors is they don't last very long. One way or another, nobody down here lasts very long. But Jesus endures forever. He is the same, and so he ever lives to make intercession and prayer for us. And Jesus Christ is praying for us today. Do you know on this day, on August the 5th, 2018, Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father praying for us? And the prayers of Jesus make all the difference in the world. Do you know the difference between Peter and Judas? You got two guys, they were both part of the 12, they were in this exclusive club, they were part of the 12 disciples, right? And they both betrayed him. What was the difference between Peter and Judas? Well, when Peter, right before Peter denied him, Jesus told him, said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you return, strengthen the brethren." The difference between Peter and Judas is not in the guy itself, but it was in the guy praying for them, because he tells Peter, "I have prayed for you," and he tells Judas, "What you do quickly." I tell you, Jesus' prayer makes all of the difference in the world. And just like air, just like the air that is in our lungs right now, maybe once was in Jesus Christ's lungs. So think about it. This day, Jesus might be breathing your name to the Father right now. When he ascended on high and is at the right hand of the Father, he is praying for us. And in fact, it says he is the good shepherd and he calls us by name. I mean, just think about it in your mind's eye a little bit. Just think of, you know, maybe the Lord Jesus is there by the right hand of the Father and says, "Lord, I intercede for Lori this day. I've been preparing a place for her, something that is just for her. And she's going through this whatever this difficulty is, and she feels betrayed. And Lord, Father, I know what it's like to be betrayed, because I was betrayed." And so he intercedes for her. And he intercedes for Joe and for Sam, because he knows us. And he's prepared a place for us. And he is actively this day praying for us. You ever ask somebody to pray for you and wonder if they did? Most of us, we might forget to pray for someone. And maybe everybody would forget to pray for you daily. But on this day, Jesus Christ is praying for his people, because he ever lives to make intercession for us. He will not forget to pray. And he will save us to the uttermost. He died for us and he prays to the Father. He will not let any of us go. And that is why we will endure to the end, because he has interceded for us. Do you know that our salvation is secure and it is eternal? And it is something that we can lay hold of, but it's also something that we can offer to other people. And I offer it to you this day, because you know what is the day of salvation? Does it say yesterday was the day of salvation? Or tomorrow is the day of salvation? Now, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the scripture says today is the day of salvation. And it says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Because only today is the only day that you can be saved. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But on this day, as the high priest, he offers salvation. And can you hear his voice that says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Can you hear that? Is that breath in your lungs right now? Is he that close to you? Well, if he is, then this meal is for you. Because not only is Jesus preparing a place for us and sympathizing with us and praying for us, but he fellowships with us. And he fellowships with us in this meal. Now, there are various names of the Lord's Supper in the Scripture. It's called the Lord's Supper. It's called the Lord's Table. But it's also called communion. Did y'all call it communion here? I don't think I've ever been in a Baptist church where they've called it communion. But in the book of Corinthians, it says that we commune with our Lord, with his body, and with his blood. We participate with him. We fellowship with him. And John tells us in 1 John 1:3 that our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And this meal is meant for a time of communion. It's meant for a time of close fellowship, of communion with Christ. Because you know, meal time is a close time. I mean, when you eat with someone, it's a time you sit and you kind of conversate and you're close to that person. That is what this moment is. It's a moment to when the invisible Christ, who we cannot see but we love, but we can sit down with a meal with him, and we can be close to him and commune. You remember the Last Supper when he instituted the Lord's Supper and he changed the Passover to the Lord's Supper, and as he was there and he said, "One of you is going to betray me." And the disciple whom Jesus loved, it says, was leaning back on Jesus. Leaning against his bosom. Imagine the closeness there. And he kind of leans back and he says, "Lord, who is it?" Imagine such a closeness in that time of that meal. Do you know that is what he calls us to today? Right now? Not just yesterday and not what's going to be in heaven when we're going to sing, but this day. Because Jesus Christ is the same today. And he is as real as this meal. Though you do not see him, you love him. So we're going to take a time and talk to him. Commune with him. And thank him. Because he's real. And I'll call the deacons to come down and we'll get ready to partake of this meal together. I will just give by way of instruction and warning that this is the Lord's table. It is for the Lord's people, and if you belong to the Lord, then this meal is for you. But there is a stark warnings in the Scripture that you are not to take of this meal in an unworthy manner. And so if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, let the elements pass you by as they are passed in front of you. And let it be a symbol and a picture to you that you have not yet partaken of Christ. Not yet partaken of the only one that can save you from your sins. And so if you are not a believer, do not take of these meals. Of this meal. Even if you are a believer, there may be some situation in your life that maybe you need to pass these elements by, because we are not to partake of this meal in an unworthy way. But you know, we do partake of it in a worthy way when we know that I don't deserve it. That this is a meal of grace, a meal that Christ has called me to fellowship with him. And so on this day, if you can look at these elements, and you can discern the Lord's body, this invisible one, and you see the bread in front of you, and you know what it means, that this is his body. And then you see the cup in front of you, and you know what it means, and you can discern the Lord's body in these elements, in this memorial meal. Then rejoice and fellowship with this one who lived for you and who died for you. Gentlemen. And as the deacons get ready to pass the bread, as you take it, just hold it until we have all been served, and then we will eat together at the end. And also, as it's being passed, I will remind you that our Lord Jesus Christ bore our own sins in his body on the tree. That it was in his body, in his flesh, the body that was prepared for him by the Father, that the Holy Spirit put in Mary. That body bore our sins, and that body was broken for you. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior.